Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, return to the Lord. These are the words we hear echoed, not just in Scripture, but the last few weeks that we've been gathering together. Just looking back since we met Ash Wednesday on February 17th. Wow. We heard about this proclamation to return, and we've used these Wednesday evening services to see the things we can turn from, right? We've looked at the first of things, using this passage from Scripture, to turn from apathy. Out of all the different things we've just sung about and that we heard in this passage from King Solomon, that there's a time for everything, guess what? There was not listed among them apathy. That means having a lack of emotion for something, that you just don't care. In the Christian church and in our life together, there's no place for apathy. We're called to care about things and each other. We got to turn away from it and resist that feeling to just say, whatever, I don't care. We also looked at turning from poor time management. Poor time management. Ooh, that's starting to hit home for me. I got so many things on my schedule, and I like to do them all, and I can't do them, and I sometimes miss my schedules, and I like to arrive late. We do that sometimes. And we got to turn from it. We talked about negativity. Ooh, negativity. You guys feel negative? Maybe you know somebody that's just a drain on your emotions. We call them energy vampires. People that don't have anything good to say. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you caught yourself being negative. We could complain about a whole lot of things this last year. And guess what? We're going to have a whole lot of things to complain about next year, too, even when things are good. But that's not what we're going to do, because we're going to turn from it to see the good that our Lord has in store for us. Last week, we talked about turning from a lack of boundaries. Not just time management, but maybe we have boundaries in relationships. Sometimes we give too much time to certain people that just don't need to. Boundaries. Maybe we just don't have boundaries about the things that we want to do. Maybe we take too many schedules. Maybe we place our week full of sports and extracurriculars and leisure activities instead of really what is mattering to us, our faith, our family, and our friends. Lack of boundaries. We got to turn from it. There's a better way. Tonight, guess what? We got another thing we can turn from. It's called division. You guys read the newspaper, maybe looked at the news online or on your TVs. You've been around this last year. You can see a lot of division. I'm not just talking Democrats, Republicans. We're seeing division among parents and children. Divisions among races, maybe truly or maybe wrongly perceived, or we're just making it up out of nowhere. We're seeing division among citizens and the police force. We're seeing divisions in churches where it's not just about people going to one church or another, it's people not going to any church. Imagine the division that causes in hearts and relationships with people when they are separated from the things that they need most. Division. It's not just about North and South in a civil war anymore. We are fighting division every single minute of every single day, whether we realize it or not. Division. That reminds me of what we just talked about. We sang about it, but hear once more these words of King Solomon. He says in the last few verses of Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time to tear and a time to sow. Right? Sometimes we have those clothes or maybe hand-me-downs where maybe you got a rip in your jeans or your shirt, and you really love them, so we're going to sew them up because we're going to still get some use out of them, right? Or maybe you got some that are just time to go to Goodwill, or maybe just time for the burn barrel. There is a time to tear them up, okay? There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's a famous quote by American literature author Mark Twain. You maybe have read it or heard it. It's better to remain silent and appear to be foolish than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Sometimes we need to be quiet, and sometimes we need to speak up, and you have to know the difference between the two. Sometimes if you're attending a funeral, it doesn't take any words at all. You're just there, and that's what means the most. But sometimes when you have a family get-together, or maybe you're at school or with a group of friends that are just saying some pretty nasty stuff about each other, are you just going to sit there and say nothing and let people walk all over each other? Sure hope not. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love. Ooh, we love love. But there's also a time to hate. Seems kind of strange to hear that from a church. God is love, right? When's there a time to hate? God hates sin. And he hates it when you do, and I do, and every one of us do. That's totally appropriate. And we should hate evil and things that are not good for us as well. There's a time for it. We're living in an age, whether we want to believe it or not, when we are calling things that are evil, good. And things that are good, evil. And who is going to do anything about it? It's not going to be your local politician. It's not going to be the people that you see every day. It's going to be you. You, no matter how old or young you are the force of good in this life. You might be the Bible that somebody reads. There is a time for war and a time for peace. We're going to get that. We're going to get back to that in a little bit. But first, I want to tell you a story here. It's about turning to God. So far, we've been at Lent here, really hammering down on maybe feeling the weight of the law. We know when we're not doing what's right. We can feel it. It's written on our hearts. We call it our conscience. And if you're feeling maybe knocked down sometimes, I want you to hear this story. At age 26, Thomas started a publishing company, and it was called the National Convention of Gospel Choirs. Mr. Thomas worked with some of the greatest singers in all of gospel music history. But one night, after singing to an audience, he was handed a notice of a voicemail that said that his wife had just died. And she had passed away while giving birth. So Thomas hurried back to his home in Chicago, where his newborn son died himself the following day. So Thomas plunged deeply into depression. He avoided people. He grew angry with God. I felt God had done me an injustice, and I didn't want to even serve him anymore, let alone write gospel music, he said. Eventually, a friend took him to a neighboring music school, and that evening he sat down at a piano and started to play. And he started to pray. That night he poured his heart out to God, and what came out were words that he wrote down. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. These words would eventually go on to be one of the most well-known of hymn songs that many people have been comforted by, especially at funerals. Mr. Thomas Dorsey testified that the Lord healed him that night as he sang and sat there at a piano one night. But he went on to pen more than 1,000 other songs and hymns and became one of the most influential Christian songwriters of all time. It was all because he reached out to God for help. Tonight, I want you to remember that first and foremost. We can talk a whole lot about things that we can turn from. And you can probably come up with some of your own. We know that there are obstacles that distract us, obstacles that keep us from a life worthy of living together, a life of love, a life of knowing God. But I want you to remember this fact, that you can turn to God. Sometimes we might feel guilty. Oftentimes it's when life is hard and we've messed up so royally where we just don't even feel like we deserve to come to church. Maybe you know somebody that is feeling that. Tonight is all about that fact, as have the last few weeks. You can turn to God with arms wide open for you, despite anything and everything. He is slow to anger and abounding in love for you. You know why? It's not because of anything you've done or haven't done. We said it before. It's because of Jesus. We might have come to a church service every week for maybe 50 years, and we might have heard the same thing in different ways, but I want you to just let that sink in. Jesus has opened the way that you can turn to your Lord and Maker without any fear or trembling because of who you are or who you think you might be. We can turn to God. So I want to finish this verse. There is a time for love and a time for hate, a time for war and a time for peace. These words are very important, so important that we just heard that familiar pop song by the rock band or folk band, The Byrds. Now, you might be on the younger side, that you were born maybe not so late ago. This was written in the mid-1960s. You know what was going on then? A little thing called the Vietnam War. And these words of scriptures were so important to these rock singers that they wanted to write about it, sing about it, because there is a time for war and a time for peace. We might not be facing a war today, but you are. You are fighting a battle every single morning that you get up. And we have to remember it, especially this time of Lent. The minute you walk out these doors tonight, you are fighting a battle over your soul. A battle that sometimes it feels that Satan is winning. And you know why? It's because of this thing called division. If we go back, way back, in the beginning when there was only two people, Adam and Eve, husband and wife, that was the first trick in Satan's long sleeve of tricks. What does he do? He heard about God commanding them to do a simple thing, just don't eat of this one tree. And so what does Satan do? He goes to Eve, which he thinks is the weaker, more gullible vessel, and he separates her. He singles her out, so that she's alone. He speaks directly to her, and it sounds pretty good what he says. If you eat, you're not going to die. You're just going to be wise. You're going to know things. And it looks really good. It's tasty, it's sparkly, and you're going to be so much better off if you just do it. And he divided not just Adam from Eve, but he divided Eve and Adam from God. And Satan's going to do that to you if he hasn't already. He's going to try to divide your family. The closer you get to God, expect to prepare for a stronger battle to fight. Satan would just love for you to stop coming to church, stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop meeting with your family, stop loving. He'd love for you to be apathetic. He'd love for you to just have so poor boundaries, so poor of time management, just so much division in your heart and hatred and negativity that you just don't need God, or so you think. We're fighting a battle. There is a time for war. But you know what? We can turn to our Lord. And know what's even better? We might be feeling like we're fighting a battle, but Jesus has already won the entire victory. He took every single thing, nailed it to the cross, signed, sealed, delivered. It is yours. You can tell the world, you can tell the problems we might have, you can tell Satan himself out loud, I am baptized, I am forgiven, I'm loved, and I am Jesus's. And when we remember that, Holy Week takes on a whole new meaning. We remember that living our lives together at home, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, takes on a whole new meaning. It's a battle worth winning. It's a battle worth fighting daily because we have already won. We are simply running the victory lap with our Lord until he comes back again. And that's why we can say, despite every season of life, despite everything we can turn away from and turn to, return to the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of Jesus. Help us remember that we are loved and forgiven and also sent to this very hurting world with this same message. Thank you for equipping us and empowering us, despite who we are and our talents, to be these missionaries, these hands and feet of your Son Jesus still today. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege of turning to you and being able to return to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.